Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I have a lot of announcements to make. It's more like a mini sermon. I don't want to take the pastor's word away from him, but several things that we need to listen for. We have an upcoming new church year, and if you want to volunteer for a position or keep the same position you had, we need to know that, and there'll be a sign-up sheet out in the foyer for that, and please look at that if you want to volunteer to help in whatever ministry you choose. And we have a lot of ministries that are very important. Everyone's important, or we wouldn't be having it. So one ministry is no better than the other, but we need workers in all of them. There'll be a special prayer meeting next Sunday, August the 13th, at 10:45 in the fellowship hall right over here for the blankets made for the Scott County Sheriff's Office and Duffield Fire and Rescue Squad. Everybody's invited to attend, so please try to make it for that important prayer time. Also, we continue to sew garments for the Samaritan's Purse, wedding quilts, lap blankets for carts for a hospice, and blankets for Duffield Fire and Rescue Squad and Sheriff's Department. So if you can help or want to come with the sewing bees, see Miss Peggy Stanley, who's seated right there behind Ray. And most of you know her anyway. Senior adults, there'll be a trip. Yahoo! Seniors, if you're over 18, you're a senior. Seniors will be going on a trip September the 19th at 9 o'clock, leaving the church here, to Dandridge, Tennessee, to visit Bush Bean Museum, Pepper Palace, eat lunch at the Bush Cafe. There's a sign-up sheet out in the foyer on the table. If you want to go, please sign that so we know how many vans to take. And we'll be taking one van at least. Hopefully we'll take two. So September the 19th. Also, Rocco High School Athletic again has asked Thomas Village to provide a meal for the game and the band and the football team and the cheerleaders. October the 6th. So we need volunteers to help cook and serve. Samaritan's Purse. There's two containers out here collecting items for shoebox ministry in the hallway. Monetary gifts will be accepted as well to purchase, to pay for the shipping. Our goal this year is 300 boxes, ages 10 to 14, boys and girls. We'll be hosting soup and sandwich luncheon and an afternoon service Sunday, October the 8th. All donations will be made and used for that purpose in the postal for those boxes. And packing party will be held October the 28th in the fellowship hall. Higher Ground Church is hosting the Gaither Vocal Band September the 21st at 7 p.m. Tickets are $32, general admissions, 60 plus, if you're 60 years old plus, and children, the tickets are $29. There will be a sign-up sheet in the foyer concerning the tickets. Deadline is September the 13th. And Moms in Prayer will be passing out a survival kit, devotional, and candy to teachers at the beginning of school at Duffield Primary, Rocco High School, and Rocco Intermediate. Now, don't say, please repeat those. I can't do it. But anyway, I do have some other announcements. So listen up. Deacons, we have a meeting Monday night, this coming Monday at 6 o'clock. in the pastor's office. We have a church council meeting after church tonight. So if you have a ministry in the church, please try to be there. We have a business meeting October the 16th, a week from this coming Wednesday. Wednesday night service and choir practice is every Wednesday. If you're not singing in the choir, we invite you to come and sing. And don't tell me you can't sing. If you have a voice, you can sing. It might not be a pretty voice. It might be a great voice. But you know, a voice up there is worth a lot. And we need members in the choir. Men especially. Men especially, Shane. 6 o'clock Wednesday nights. Budget requirement request would be made to the budget committee by Sunday the 12th. So if you have a committee or a ministry at the church and you need a budget for it, you need to make the request to the budget committee by Sunday the 12th. We also are having a teaching class called Experiencing God. It hasn't been taught in several years. There's a signed-up sheet out in the foyer. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be meeting to discuss this and set a time. So make plans for that. We don't have a time for it. We know it'll have to be when most people can meet. But it's a great teaching lesson, a good book to study from, and scriptures to remind us what we need to be doing. So Experiencing God. If you haven't taken that class or you want to take it again, please sign up out in the foyer or see the pastor or one of the deacons. Any other announcements? Anybody? You all hear that? Matthew 5. Thank you. Let's go to prayer. Father, we just come thanking you for this day. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the members here. Thank you for those that couldn't be with us. We ask you to be with those. Some are sick. Some are to have surgeries. Lord, you know each situation. You know it better than we do. We just thank you for our church family. We thank you for ones that are going to sing today. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us another day. May your Holy Spirit abound in here today. May it be a great day, and we can say it's been a great day to be in the house of the Lord, your house, not our house, your house. And we thank you for hearing our prayers and giving us this day together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, church. As we come together in practice and we're looking ahead in advance to songs to be singing and preparing for it, our goal and hope is that God will guide and direct each song for the day that he wants it sung. And it's our feeling that there's somebody here that needs to hear this today, the songs that we're fixing to sing. And this one comes from 2 Timothy 1:7 that tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Amen. And this is "Fear is a Liar."
When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough, put up a good fight. When he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Your rest, steal your happiness.
and that you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one that grace could never change. He is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your sins. He is a liar. He will rob your your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all my fears. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all my fears. He will take your breath, stop you in your stead. He is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, test your fear in the fire. Cause fear, he is a liar.
If you want to take a hymnal and join us as we sing 411, and this falls right into that. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We trust in him, and all that fear that the devil tries to send our way, he'll take care of. And I just want to praise him for getting Wayne through that song. Wayne's having some fluid this morning, and it's through God's touching hand that he got him through that song. We thank Jesus for that.
Amen.
So if you'll stand, if you want to take a hymnal again, it's 411. Let's sing, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
Trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the Savior Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, friend.
Just one sin and sin.
trust Him. Now I move to more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me. Let me win me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. Now I'm moved in more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus.
Amen. You can be seated. Mercy. Our song to, this morning comes from Proverbs 28:13. No one who conceals transgressions will prosper, but one who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what your mercy did for me.
Thank you, praise team. And it's good to see all of you this morning. Thank you, Sister Yvonne. Well, if you would, take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We're on sermon 6, I guess it would be, in this series. And today we'll be about halfway through it, I reckon. But the idea is, thus saith the Lord, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to say again, welcome. Thank you for everybody that's here today and the effort you've made. And I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad I'm here today. Believe you me, I wanted to be here last Sunday, and I'm grateful for Brother Jacob and him filling in the spot and everyone. But if you want to know what happened, just meet me after church. I don't want to get my wife in trouble with the state board or anything like that. So it's my health, and I lost consciousness for a little bit, and I've got to make some changes. So just pray for me that I do it, you know. I'm one that's got a rebellious side, and if you tell me not to push the red button, then I'll push the red button just to show you I can push the red button. So just pray. It's all about submission to the Spirit. You know, as we grow older, the Lord is chiseling us into the image of Christ. And then He takes this thing out of my life. He replaces it with something else. And you know, it happens with all of us. And one day I'm going to bear His image totally, completely like Him. But it won't be with the bruises and bumps. Amen. Again, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And if you're watching us by Facebook, or you're listening by the radio, we count it an honor that you are with us today. But we sure would like to see you, and we'd like you to worship with us and be a special guest. So just try to come, and if you can't never come again, give us one shot. But also today, if you're in here and you're a visitor for the first time, we count it a privilege to have you with us, and we would like to get you some information about our church. So if you are visiting, would you raise your hand real quick? We'd like to give praise the Lord. It's good to have y'all. Good to have y'all. On the way out, if you would, I'll be shaking hands, and I'd just like to talk to you and find out a little info about you. And I sent you a text the day before that I went down. So. Amen, amen. Well, the thing is, and Brother Brock, and it's like with anyone else, if you come in here, I count it my duty to lift you up in prayer, if nothing else. And if nothing else comes of it, we promise to do that. This morning, before we begin, do we have any words of praise or thanksgiving? What'd you say? Amen. Praise God. Mercy and grace every morning. And not only that, it shall follow me all the days of my life, is what we're told. Who had a baby? Oh, praise, she did. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I had been talking with them. I forget there's messenger. I do through texting, but I've been texting with them. What'd she have?
A little girl.
You know how big? All that? Well, you got to do better, Miss Pansy. I'm kidding. I'm playing. Anyone else got a word of praise or testimony? I'm grateful for Brother Steve Neff. God provided him a Wednesday night, a wonderful sermon. But if you see a black knife with a broke off tip on it, it's a foldable. It's his. He's left it here. So please just lay it up here on the pulpit, if you would. If you've not heard it this week, I pray you've remembered it. And if you don't remember anything else about today, remember these three things. Nobody loves you as much as Jesus loves you. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus has done for you. And right now, He's willing to do greater things than you could ever imagine if you're willing to allow Him. Isn't that awesome? All right, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be in verse 31, and we're going to read through verse 31 through 37. Here, what we're going to see is that Christ speaks on the idea of divorce, and then He speaks on the idea of swearing or giving oaths. Now, this morning, we only going to get through two verses, okay? And so I'm going to feed it to you in tiny bites today, all right? But if you would stand with me in honor of God's Word, if we had a message for this, a title for this sermon, it would be, Thus Saith the Lord, the Word on Divorce. The Word on Divorce. Verse 31. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her in that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not by at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. But I say unto you, swear not at all, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for allowing me to be in the position and the place that you've called me to. And God, I pray right now that you forgive me of my sins and my shortcomings. Because, Lord, I know I am far from adequate, not only just to be saved, but Heavenly Father, Lord, to accomplish the task at hand. Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to touch my tongue, to touch my mind, and to use it for your glory. I pray that the ears that will hear this message and that your word will just be anointed by the power of heaven. And God, I pray for those that are hurting today. I pray for those that are fearful. I pray for those, Lord, that right now need Jesus. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you do it all to the glory of the Father. And I ask you again, breathe on us today and bring revival, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read that again since I hacked it up so bad, all right? Just the first two verses, though. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saying, For the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, commits adultery. Now, if you remember, right now we've gone through these in our series. The first one was actually, if you remember, it was Turn the Other Cheek. And that was on June the 25th. And we looked at Matthew chapter 5, verses 28 through 32. And then the next week, June the 2nd, we looked at Matthew chapter 5, 17 through 20, and the Word on the Prophets. And verses 21 through 26 the next week, the Word on Unjust or Unresolved Anger. And then July the 23rd, not last Sunday, but I think it was the 23rd. We looked at the Word on Lust. Now, I'm thankful for Brother Jacob, but I wanted to be here last Sunday so bad. The theme, the idea of Thus Saith the Lord, we're going to kind of catch up. It began because the Lord started showing me that many things that I had held as my convictions, that had been passed down to me as convictions, really what they were preferences. And that there is much being preached behind the pulpit and it's used by three little words, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And I got to thinking, did God actually say those things? I mean, did God actually say that cleanliness is next to godliness? Did God actually say that He won't put more on you than you can bear? I'm going to tell you what, God will put more on or allow more on you than you can bear. You know that? And he'll get you through it. But the one day there's going to be one thing that hits you physically that's more than you can bear. And we all going to die. And after that, the judgment. Did God really say? Or now, like, it does tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there is no temptation overtaking you that is not common to all men, but God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation will also provide a way of escape. Then there's the idea of tattoos. Oh, man, I mean, that's one that I know in the county next to us that it had been preached that if you have a tattoo that's seeable, then you ought not be seen or hold a ministry in the church. That's not thus saith the Lord. Matter of fact, only one verse really focuses on markings on the body, and that goes all the way back to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. But really what it's talking about there is body modification. And if we're going to talk about body modification, let's don't stop it at tattoos, right? How about money is the root of all evil? It's the love of it that drives people. Money is, it don't have any plus or minuses. It can't do nothing. It's what we do with it. We'll run all over the streets of the gold in heaven. We'll run the golden streets. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 21, it says that there is a street of gold. Other things such as one deacon, a man needs to be married before he can become a deacon, that women are to keep quiet in the church. Those things have been used and manipulated. And you need to study the context. You need to study the language. So the Lord brought me, and I guess this all began back when we were looking at the Pharisee and the tax collector. You remember? The Pharisee and the tax collector. But the Lord took me over here to Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, 32. And it's about, the title was, Their Tooth or My Cheek. Their Tooth or My Cheek. And what I begin to realize is sometimes we've skipped over a lot of good stuff to point fingers outward when we need to be really pointing fingers inward. I remember something came to me this week. Am I willing to fail for the Lord? Am I willing to be the loser for His glory? I remember one time I told the Lord as a young preacher, just being in, I said, "If I don't want to fail, Lord." I was all about, I don't want to do bad. I don't want to be bad. And I got convicted. But if God, listen, when Jesus came down off that cross and they took Him and they buried Him in a tomb, to the world, He had lost. He was the loser. How about John the Baptist? He was the loser in the eyes of the world. What about Paul? Are we willing to lose? Are we willing to take the loss so that others might be saved? You see, as we focus on what thus saith the Lord, it's going to hit us where we live. It's going to touch us in our lives. And then God brought me to that phrase, you have heard that it hath been said, blah, 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 but I say unto you. And what we see there is that Jesus in the in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, what He's doing there as the beginning, He's saying, this is what the law says, but this is what I say. This is what the authority of heaven. This is how I look at it. And we see that the idea of thus, but I say unto you, is five times in the chapter 5. Or excuse me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 5. Pretty good. Okay, my counting ain't right. I'm from Georgia, and we do have to use our fingers and our feet every now and then to throw it in there. But the idea of, but I say unto you, is the equal to thus saith the Lord. And as I was looking at this, it's six times, but in the total of the Gospel of Matthew, the idea of, but I say unto you, or verily, verily I say unto you, therefore I say unto you, it's used another six times, or another four times, for a total of 16. For a total of 16 times. And then if you look through all of the Gospels, the idea of but I say unto you, or verily, verily I say unto you, is used 24 times. And so we're doing a pretty good job if we just look at the six that's found here. So beginning there in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21, we began our study. And it's brought us all the way up to the point of Christ Jesus on the law. And listen to what it says. I'm going to read it out of the ESV here. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say unto you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries the divorced woman commits adultery already. Now, I want you to know the heart that this is being preached from this morning. It's not to condemn anybody, but it's to understand the Lord and to know Him better and to leave here walking closer with Him. Amen? But I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that the basic family, mom, dad, and children, is the original design that God had intended? Another question. Do you think that the enemy has waged war on the fundamental building block? Mama, dad, and family in America. Would you agree that home and family are valued lower than they ever have before in America? You see, we don't look at marriage like God looks at marriage. And therefore, we don't look at divorce the same way that God looks at divorce. And let me remind you this, that Jesus is a forgiver of all sins. And He's already shown us that He puts murder and unjust forgiveness, anger on the same level, okay? But listen, how did Jesus handle people that had been divorced? In John chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, it tells us about the woman at the well. You remember her? It says this, Jesus said unto her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered Him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right, saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you're with now is not your husband, so what you've told me is true. You remember she came to the well at what time? 12 o'clock. All the other women probably would have come at daybreak, but not her. Not her. But you know what? How did she leave there? Listen to this. John chapter 4. Her coming to Jesus. So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever done. Can't this be the Christ? And they went out of that town and were coming to Him. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And then we have the, not sure how, but then over in John chapter 8, I believe, we have the woman caught in adultery. You remember her? And they came to Jesus, brought her, you know they was probably being rough with her, and they brought her to Jesus and said, well, the law says that she's been caught in adultery and she should be stoned. What did Jesus say? Well, the one without sin cast the first stone. A few minutes later, Christ asked her, said, where are those thine accusers? Where are those that was being judgmental about you? And in John chapter 8, verse 11, it says, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You see, He met each one of them in their specific locations. You know, He dealt with them the way that they needed to be loved. But as we look at this morning, the first thing we've got to recognize is the idea of when they say, thus saith the Lord, what does it mean? So he says, whosoever puts his wife away, let them give her a right of divorcement. But it has been said. So we've got to go all the way back to the Old Testament and understand what the teaching was about divorce at that time. If you look over in Deuteronomy chapter 1, it says this. When a man takes a wife and marries her, if then he finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some indecency in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and she departs out of his house, and if she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the latter man hates her and writes her a divorcement of certificate of divorcement, it confuses me as well, and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house, and if the latter man dies, who should take her as her wife? The former husband who sent her away may not take her again to be his wife after she has been defiled, for this is an abomination before the Lord. And you shall not bring sin upon the land of the Lord your God, who is giving you an inheritance. So basically, to break that down, what he's saying is that if there's something, if you find that something physically is not right with your beloved, your spouse, meaning that she would lied about her stance before marriage, or she cheated on you, then yes, you could write a writ of divorcement. But the problem was this. It had became to where, by the time of Christ, that if a man didn't like the way she did the rice that night, that he would just write it off and say, I'm sending you down the road. And so as we look at it and we think about it, that is the way it was looked at. Hey, if the man wanted the divorce, he can get the divorce. And notice it kind of feels like the woman takes all the shame too, don't it? But that's what Jesus said. But where else? We would be foolish not to try and find something else in the Gospels on divorce and marriage, because Jesus did teach on those things in other areas. So there are four times that the word divorce or divorcement is used in the four Gospels. Two of them are right here, what we've just read. The other two are in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, and Mark chapter 10, verse 4. Now, I'm only going to read one of these accounts to save time. But here the Pharisees have come to Jesus, and they've asked him about the divorce stuff. And listen, Matthew chapter 19, beginning verse 3. And Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking questions. Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two flesh, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let no man join asunder. The Pharisees come back. Why then did Moses command that one give a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. Whoo! You know, right? Hey, that was big time rebellious, seen as a rebellious statement right there. Why? Because he's saying it's the man that carries it as well. So the first question we have to ask this morning, what does Christ believe about marriage? You ever asked yourself that? What does my Savior think about marriage? Well, first thing that caught my eye was this. He lets us know what he thinks about gender. Huh? He lets us know what he thinks about gender. He said, have you not read that in that he who created them from the beginning created them what? Male and female. Now, they may be 100 more blue million, but I can tell you this. Those are the two that God blesses. They ain't no other. In Genesis, Jesus, what he was doing is he was saying, hey, the Genesis account is correct. He made them. Over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you remember he said, let us make them in our image and our likeness. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill and subdue the earth. And you know what he ended up saying? It is good. And that meant that's just the way I went for it to be. It's right. There doesn't need to be any changes. It doesn't need to be redefined. I've defined it. So we have Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Son of God, God in the flesh saying, hey, didn't you know? Look over there. I stand with what the Word stands. I stand with the truth. There are only two genders. They're involved. And then notice what else he says. He tells us what he thinks about what marriage is. Now, let me ask you this. The word marriage is never mentioned in those two verses there in Matthew 5, is it? But what relationship would be mostly thought of if you were talking about divorce? If there would never be any need for a divorce if there wasn't marriage. You see? There would not be any of it. So we have to think about what God thinks about marriage before we can get to what God says about divorce. He says, therefore, Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 through 6, what does he say? He said, man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife. Again, he's pointing back in Genesis chapter 2, beginning of verse 22. And I want you to think about this. God took Adam. The Bible says it took a rib. Where does a lot of our DNA come from when they're studying the marrow of the bone? God took Adam and put him into sleep, and he took a piece away from Adam and made Eve. And the Bible said that they come together naked in the eyes of God, and that there was nothing hidden. Jesus is saying, that's it. That's what marriage is. That's what I agree with the way the Creator has defined marriage. So again, we see two genders, man and a woman, come together. They leave their families, committing themselves to one another and to their Creator. That's marriage. Marriage is ordained by God and a blessed union. Marriage is one man and one woman for a lifetime. It's sacred. It's of great value and importance to our Creator. Marriage is the second most important relationship that a human being can be in outside their relationship with God. Marriage is the fundamental building block of a good and godly society. In today's world, let me think about this. We see marriage completely opposite of what God sees it. I want you to think about the wedding day. How much money is spent on clothing? How much money is spent on the venue and the food and all that? Like they've done run a marathon and won. But buddy, the race just started. You ain't even took a step yet. That's why these 40, 50 year anniversaries are so beautiful, man. Tell you youngins, whatever they spend on, you spend on their weddings, that they got to put it back into yours, right? You see, marriage is a special relationship that our God created. I'm going to tell you what, the government never should have put their hands in it. They never have a right to define it. It's a special relationship that our Creator has given us as a gift. And He uses that relationship, that building block, not only to bless us, but our community around us. Marriage is to be one man, one woman for life. Marriage is special. God values marriage. So then, if he values marriage, what you reckon he would think about divorce? Well, the law tells us that there in Deuteronomy that if a man finds something wrong with his wife, and he can just write it off and be done with it, and all is good. You know, good to go. Meaning that the woman carried the weight, and the man seemingly was free. Think about it. The law, it seemed they were using it, manipulating in a way that the man could do what he wanted, but the woman was disgraced by it. And that's what people are doing with "Thus saith the Lord" in the pulpits. So, we see that the law was being manipulated. The divorce, the idea behind it. So we see that God honors marriage. Divorce, the law, is being manipulated and used. So what does Jesus say about divorce? What does Jesus think about divorce today? Well, he says in 5:32, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Oh, what would happen if we stopped right there? It would just sound like that it was the same old, wasn't it, right? But remember what I said. It had got to where they just write divorce for whatever, man. For whatever. That's why we look and we find Matthew chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. He says, why did Moses give the command of divorcement? Jesus said, "Because of your hard hearts, Moses allowed you. But it was not this way from the beginning." Again, he's saying marriage is so important that originally there was not even any divorce in mind. But when the fall came and when sin entered, then, yes, because we're imperfect beings. It goes on to say and tell us that divorce is an abomination, as we read before. What does the Word say about divorce? We know that marriage is special. We know it's sacred and valued in the eyes of God. We know that Christ Jesus said that man and woman should leave mother and father and come together to make one. Two fleshes become one. And He said, "What God has put together, let no man join asunder." So then, marriage is so important. He says this, it's so valued, so important to God that there's only one thing, one reason why it would not be a sin, and that is adultery. One or the other being outside in another affair. But I want to tell you this. Nowhere does God say, or does Jesus say, that a divorced person, that when God washes their sins away, when they say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of my sin," they're covered just as good as a drug addict would be, as any of you in here, any of I, that when they pray that prayer, the blood of Jesus Christ washes all sins away and saying, and what does it say? We are like new. Like new. But see, we've used teachings in the church to try to make, and we've made people feel like if you've been divorced, then you're a second class or a B-level Christian. But we'll take somebody who was a murderer and a drug dealer or a drug addict, and we'll make them preachers and teachers, and we'll make them evangelists, and we'll put them out there. Come on, y'all. And we've bought it. We've bought it. Help, praise God. If His blood doesn't cover that sin, divorce, then He ain't covered my sin. And remember, there's not a cookie cutter way to handle everybody. Jesus met her at the well. Jesus met her elsewhere and got down and wrote. You have to deal with every situation as it is. You know what Jesus, what did He tell the woman caught in adultery? neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let me tell you this morning, man. Hey, I promise you, you ain't never did nothing worse than me. And I don't care where you're at, what your sin is. From this moment on, if you ask forgiveness for it, get up, go, and don't worry about it anymore. Because He's forgiven it. Now, the thing is that, let me ask you this. Do you think we see marriage as Jesus sees marriage? Do we? No, we don't. Therefore, we don't value it. We don't love it. We don't hold it sacred. We don't view it as an illustration of what we have with Him. Therefore, we don't talk about divorce. We don't say that in the eyes of God, make it work if you can. And you know what? When He said about adultery, He didn't say you had to divorce, did He? He didn't say you had to. But you know what he didn't say? He didn't say that since you're divorced, there is no plan, no purpose, or no reason that God has for you. No, He didn't say that. I know it makes us feel a little uneasy to talk about these type things. But if you had a piece of broccoli in your teeth, and we was fixing to walk into a meeting, and that thing was just gnarly hanging out there, buddy. And I looked at you and I said, listen, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you're going to look stupid when we walk in there if you don't get that big old piece of broccoli out your teeth. You know what? Your face might get red, hadn't it? And you might feel a little, but you'd thank me in the long run. You take me in the long run. And you see, that's the way it is with any sins. You know what I do know? I know that Jesus says that He is ready to forgive divorce and any other sin other than blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that's the rejection of the Holy Ghost when He shows you who Christ is. Because it tells me in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory, hallelujah. He ain't going to bring it up no more. It's us who bring it back up. You know what else? He tells me that the blood of Jesus covers the sin of divorce and all other sins. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Amen. Hallelujah. You're not a second class. They ain't no second class believers in the eyes of Christ. Do you know that? 1 John 12 and following, but to all who receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. You know what that means? It means you're a prince. It means you're a princess because you have come to Jesus. Ain't that wonderful today? It's beautiful. And you know what? He does have a purpose and a plan for your life. And He wants to use you in a way that you never imagined. How do I know that? Because I know about Abraham. I know about David. I know about Solomon. I know about Samson. I know about Paul. He uses broken vessels. Matter of fact, He takes a broken vessel and puts it back together, and then He raises it up and says, this is my son. This is my daughter. This is my marriage. This is what I can do. But we've got to be willing to deal with the issue, to deal with what's going on. So, again, as I look at these scriptures, and kindly, the thing that has stood out to me is what's happening, like murder, right? Murder and unjust anger. We'd have never put those together, right? And you know what He says? Leave the gift on the altar. Go make it right. Well, I wouldn't have thought to do that. He says that if you look on another with lust in your heart, then you might have, you've committed adultery already. We wouldn't have thought like that, right? Isaiah 55:6-9. Seek ye the Lord. No, let's go to that. Beginning in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, if we truly get into it, and as we look at this, oh, how much different my thinking is to His thinking. Right? And this should push us to want to study some more, thus saith the Lord. And let me make sure that it's not grandma's or the ghetto gospel, but it's thus saith the Lord. In closing this morning, this is what we've wrapped up about the word on divorce. If you're divorced, you know what? You've sinned. But Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know what? You ain't no different from... Welcome to the club, right? We've all sinned. You know that this morning, that Jesus came to save sinners? That's the whole purpose. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And that Jesus, if you're toting a burden, if it just weighs on you right now, can I say this right now? Jesus is ready to lift that off your back. You ain't got to carry it no more. It's in the past. Nothing can be done about it other than giving it to Jesus and walking on from it. And when the old enemy comes back and tries to put it down on you again, say, I ain't toting it no more. I'm giving it to Him. That's why He died on the cross, for you to be able to hand it over and to give it up. Jesus is ready today to make you fresh, new, and an eternal creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is, verse 19, or thereabouts. If any man believes in Christ Jesus, behold, the old things are pushed back and taken away, and all things are made new. Isn't that awesome today? And every time I come to Jesus, and every time I lay down that sin, you know what? There's nothing in between me and Him. So today, while the sermon may have kindly focused on divorce, I just want to... Are you burdened by something today? Is there a sin that you've not confessed? Or maybe it's one from the past that the old enemy comes and he whispers in your ear, you really think Jesus loves you and covered you in that blood? Yeah. Do you really think you are right with your Creator because you done that? Yeah. So today I just want to invite you to come and lay your burden down. Give it. You say, preacher, I done laid it down four or five times. Lay it down a fifth time. Lay it down a sixth time. Keep laying it down until you don't bear that. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He's took it away. Maybe today you're toting something else. Whatever it is, bring it to Him. And again, I want you to know, it's thus saith the Lord. It's not me. It's any sin. Fornication, whatever. Number two, today, do you know that you know that you know that you're a believer, that you have surrendered and given your life to Jesus? Because I see so many that are trusting in what they've done. Well, I've been a part of this church. I give this, blah, 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 blah. I do all this. The Bible says that there's nothing we can do. And if you're depending on what you do, then you're going to die and go to hell. Because the Bible says that it cannot be bought. It must be received. How do you do that? The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that the Lord has raised Him from the dead and confess it with your mouth, then thou shalt be saved. What does believe mean? Well, to the best, Lord, I'm going to trust Your Word. I'm going to trust it. Last thing is this. I believe God wants to send revival to this church. But we've got to be willing to seek His face. And we've got to be willing to own our shortcomings as a church. If my people, which are called by my name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, will humble themselves and pray, seeking my face, then I will, and for, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their lands. I sent something to the deacons this week that I think that we need to be considering. But right now, do you want revival? Are you ready for Him to put something inside of you? Is there something about that's telling you there's more to it than this? There's more to it than just coming on Sunday morning and going home. Can I tell you, there is. There is. And I've experienced it, but man, I need it now too. I think this experiencing God class is going to help. But whatever your need is today, Jesus has got it. And if you want me or a deacon or some of our ladies to pray with you, just come on up here. Lose the pride. Throw it down and say, I just need you, Jesus. I'm going to ask our piano player to come and our song director. And maybe today you need to become a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church. Don't judge it by me. It's a whole lot more better members in here than I am. But I tell you what, I told the Wednesday night that I believe Jesus is coming soon. I do. But I believe He's rallying a group here for one last charge, for one last push. And praise God, and then He'll call us home. Are you willing to join the battle? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for letting me be back with my brothers and sisters. And God, again, I know I'm a sinner. I sin every day. But You still love me. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray if there be one carrying a burden today, that they lay it down. And God, if there be one here that needs Jesus as their Savior, lay it down. If they need to be here as a member, Lord, let us leave here as close being obedience to You as we can. Holy Spirit, thank You for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand if you will. There's another issue. If you have a sickness, the Bible tells us that if there be anyone sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church and be anointed with the oil. We believe in Scripture. We don't believe any voodoo or magic or anything like that as the oil, but we believe that it's a sign of the Holy Spirit bringing healing. Like to pray for a family member. How about those things you fear? That's what Brother Wayne sung about this morning. Job had to deal with the things that he really feared. There's things that I fear, but my Lord is my peace. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the sweetness of the Holy Spirit that's been here and that is moving through our church. God, I thank You for the signs and the things that You're showing us that, Lord, You're ready to move. You're ready to grow. And Lord, it's not about numbers. I know we're growing in our maturity here. But Lord, I also know many are tired. Many are weary. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray right now that You just give them strength. I know others wear a smile on their face, but they're carrying a burden. God, I pray You teach us how just to give those burdens over to You. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank You for how good You've been to me. You've kept me here. You've kept me alive. Every time that I've prayed for my children to come home safe, they've come home safe. Lord, You've got me with a roof over my head. There's food in my pantry. And as far as I know, the light bill's paid. God, you're so good, and we overlook so much. And Lord, I just want to close out by saying thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking care of me. No, I don't want to ask you for more. I've asked you for so much all the time. But Lord, you already have blessed me so much. God, I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, be with us as we leave and come back. Amen.